Give me just a moment. It's weird when you switch to sharing your screen. All right. With this, Leadership Council public session resumes at 18:22. We'll now be, yes, if there is no further additions, can I get a motion to adopt the agenda as modified? Vice President Poulin?
So moved.
Councillor Saad?
Second.
Thank you. Is anybody opposed to adopting the agenda? Seeing none, the agenda has been adopted. Smooth transition of screen share. All right. At this time, we'll be moving on to the adoption of the minutes. The minutes have been distributed. Are there any changes or corrections to the minutes? If there are no corrections to the minutes, the minutes will stand approved as distributed. All right. With this, we'll be moving on to point number 6 of the agenda, the report of the steering committee. So the steering committee met on February 8th, following our new schedule, which is that we meet a week earlier than we usually do. There was no guest speakers. We reviewed 4 motions. You can see them there. We later received following 5 motions, if I'm not mistaken, 4 motions that we received late. And then, of course, we have the 5th motion that we just reviewed now. For the reminders of this week, we'd like to kindly remind all councillors to please read, understand, and consult all the documents submitted for each meeting of LEDGE. They will be always posted on the Friday morning. They'll be made public on the Monday before LEDGE. And we really ask that you're able to review everything before LEDGE is canceled. It's only once per month now, so there's no excuse. Of course, please consider and balance whether each motion needs to be debated and voted. You can always just motion to vote so that we can go faster. And of course, a consent vote is always in order. The times suggested by steering appear in brackets on the side of each motion and actually every item of the agenda. We also ask that these are the two extra reminders, the ones we usually give. Please format your motions. You need to justify them. Make sure the bolds and italics are well put. It looks better when we receive them for a steering, and in general, it will be better perceived. Also, seeing those 5 late motions, we want to remind everybody to please send your motions in advance of the deadline. We received an enormous amount of late motions, as you know. In usual circumstances, the vast majority of these motions would not have been presented. We only take 1 late motion, and then the second late motion we receive becomes just a message in advance of the motion that will be presented the next meeting. Please know that now that we have 1 meeting per month, this does become a problem. We only accepted them this time because a lot of them are urgent and have to do with the GA. I do want to just insist, since these motions are urgent, you really have to send them in advance. It's very important. Finally, we have a short confidential session this evening. That is all for the report. All right, we now have a presentation by Divest McGill.
Could you please check if they wish to share their screen instead of, because yes. It gets difficult. I'm okay doing it. I just want to know if they're more comfortable sharing their screen.
Brian, would you be more comfortable?
Works either way. It might be easier on your end since you're conducting the meeting anyways.
Perfect. So we'll let you share your screen. That way you'll be able to scroll at your pace for each slide.
Okay, gotcha.
Right. You should be able to share your screen now. Awesome. You have the floor for 15 minutes.
Thank you. Let me just set my timer there. Merci, Monsieur le Président. Hello, folks. My name is Brian Baraga. I'm an organizer with Divest Miguel, and I'd like to first thank you for taking the time to be here tonight. I'm going to briefly present a history of Miguel ancillary fees and smooth moratoria in the past. I ask that you keep your questions till the end just to maintain the flow of how I'm going to conduct the presentation. Without further ado, I'll get started. So who is Divest Miguel? What do we do exactly? And what is divestment? We have a brief overview. Divestment is a political statement attacking the power and legitimacy of a given industry, removing its social license to operate. And in our particular case, what we're advocating for is for Miguel University to withdraw its investments from the fossil fuel industry and to redirect that money into a more responsible and ethical portfolio. Our campaign goals are the complete and transparent divestment from the top 200 fossil fuel companies, to mobilize supporters of divestment to stand in solidarity with Indigenous and other marginalized students on campus in Montreal and in Canada, and to foster our relationships with them, and to educate and mobilize the McGill community in support of bold and justice-oriented climate action. So how does Divest Miguel and SMU interact exactly? This stems from the society's climate justice policy. So as you can see here in this excerpt that I've included, the society provides material and financial resources to Divest Miguel through the Office of the Vice President of External Affairs, but we run autonomously as an organization. So ancillary fees in brief. So, first of all, what are ancillary fees? Ancillary fees, or in French, frais institutionnels obligatoires. They're mandatory fees charged to students and dedicated towards a particular unit or program. And I'll give a couple specific examples in the later slide. These require approval from students via a referendum. And in the past, the university has gone to SMU, Legislative Council, to get its approval to send a particular ancillary fee to referendum. So what do ancillary fees currently support? Two of the big ones are student services and athletics and recreation. Student services encompass a whole bunch of different McGill self-funded units, which are units that don't significantly receive financial support from the university's main operating budget. They rely mainly on external sources, ancillary fees, rent, and service and product provision in order to make the bulk of their income. So in student services' case, they get $184.33. If you're a full-time student, the concurrent amount for part-time students is on the right. And for athletics and recreation, you can see the amount there as well. Ancillary fees also support certain initiatives at McGill. These include Access McGill, $2 a term. These help provide the money for physical infrastructure to make McGill accessible to students with disabilities. The World University Services Canada Refugee Program, $4 a term to sponsor refugee students to study at McGill, as well as the McGill Writing Center fee, which is $1.50 a term, and provides funding for the Writing Center, which you can find in the Redpath Library Complex. So a recent history of the struggle for ancillary fees at McGill. This starts in recent history, at least in winter 2017. The SMU held a general assembly to approve a moratorium against ancillary fee increases. And I've just borrowed this headline from the McGill Tribune. So thanks to them for that. Specifically, the motion that was passed at General Assembly stated the following, that the SSMU will not consider referenda questions for new FIOs, play institutionnel obligatoire, ancillary fees, or increases to ancillary fees until they implement a moratorium on increases to overhead charges on fee-funded units. I will explain what overhead charges are shortly. But these include student services, athletics and recreation, student housing and hospitality. Basically, all of the fee-funded services that I've mentioned earlier that are self-funded units. Develops a transparent overhead formula. I can answer questions on that later, as well as provide further information to the executive committee and ensure that the budgets for these self-funded units are approved by a university committee with parity student representation. So overhead fees are charges to self-funded units for quote unquote central administrative services. These include accounting, which is centralized, legal, which is centralized, and IT, which is centralized, so on and so forth. So in the slide, I've selected the most recent budget that I was able to get online for McGill Student Services. You can see on the right side here, under expenses, a second line from the bottom, overhead. This is the amount of money that McGill University takes from student services that from their budget in order to nominally at least fund these central administrative services. The big beef with that, and I'll just quote Aaron Sobat, who was the SSMU VP University Affairs in the 2016-27 academic year, quote, "Our administration uses overhead charges to convert a portion of this restricted fee funding set aside for student services into discretionary money that they can redistribute as part of the operating budget." The second quote, which I think is particularly prescient, "This approach would be comparable to smooth taking money out of our club fund in order to pay for accounting services and then announcing that we don't have enough resources to support our student groups." So it's basically taking as much money as they want or need for its budget from a from student services that ostensibly go towards supporting student initiatives, student well-being, student wellness, and redistributing that into their central operating budget. So what happened afterwards? The SSMU had a pre-existing agreement with McGill that was signed in 2010 that basically forces the SSMU upon request by the university to send these referendum questions straight to referendum without the Legislative Council or the Board of Directors having a say in it. Again, I can answer questions on it later, but TLDR, there's that agreement. And as a result, this motion for a moratorium in 2017 was not adopted. However, the graduate students at PGSS did not have a similar agreement. And when Athletics and Recreation went to their Legislative Council to ask for an ancillary fee increase, they said no. So in lieu of that, the SSMU endorsed no vote in that referendum question about an Athletics and Recreation ancillary fee increase. But the student body ended up passing it anyways. Fast forward a couple years to the Change the Name campaign. That was the campaign to change the name of the men's varsity team led by the Indigenous Students Alliance and the Indigenous Affairs Commissioner at the time. So brief history of what happened. In winter 2019, the Legislative Council approved a motion to send the athletics facility improvement fee to referendum in the midst of that campaign. The students that were pushing for the Change the Name campaign advocated against it and pointed out that, quote, the approval of the athletics facility improvement fee would only enable McGill Athletics and further limit Indigenous students from using facilities which are meant to be open and accessible to all McGill students. And as a result of their efforts, the question failed with 58% of students voting no. A little bit about the aftermath. At a Legislative Council meeting after that, the 2017-2018 VP External read a statement on behalf of the Indigenous Affairs Commissioner and the president of the BSN at the time. And it said, quote, to put it quite succinctly, SMU has failed in its mandate to stand as an ally with Indigenous students at McGill. By including the question, SMU failed to realize that McGill athletics complexes exist as physically hostile environments for Indigenous students, and the racism of the name is physically manifested in these athletic facilities. So to chastise the Legislative Council for putting those who were organizing the change, the name campaign, giving them extra labor as and giving them another obstacle in their fight to change the name, which was ultimately successful. So that summer, the name change ultimately happened, and we're moving forward to fall 2019 when the current moratorium was implemented. To set the context a little bit, the Committee to Advise in Matters of Social Responsibility, that's a committee of the McGill Board of Governors that's been tasked with determining divestment, essentially. They were reconsidering divestment, and they set a deadline by the end of the year of that year, 2019, to decide whether the university would divest or not. At the time, I was the president of the SSMU, and we did consultations with Divest McGill to try to figure out how to further apply financial pressure on the university in order to get them to divest. And we'd identified ancillary fees as a way of being able to do that. So at an October Legislative Council meeting, the policy on moratorium on McGill fees until fossil fuel divestment passed. At the same time that was passed, the motion immediately after that was discussed was the athletics facility improvement fee question. And considering the question, the previous question was passed on the fee moratorium, the athletics facility improvement fee was shot down. So the current moratorium, if you haven't had a chance to read it, I'll summarize it here. It's a moratorium on considering referendum questions for new ancillary fees, increases to existing fees, or any other new fees or increases to existing fees that the university would like the SSMU to send to approval by referendum until McGill divests from fossil fuels and until they pledge to refrain from investing in fossil fuel companies in the future. Further, if the university decides to exercise that contractual obligation that the SMU send a fee directly to referendum, that the executives would be mandated to form a no referendum committee to explain, this is in violation of our moratorium. Divest has asked students and students have approved this moratorium, shoot this motion down. Fortunately, that, to my best understanding, that has not occurred. So what happened that year? CAMSR ultimately recommended that the university move towards decarbonization, not divestment. Decarbonization is different from divestment because it removes specific carbon-intensive companies from the university's investment portfolio, but does not make a political statement, nor does not remove its investments from the fossil fuel industry as a whole. At the time, PGSS, in solidarity with SMU and Divest McGill, adopted a similar moratorium, and this moratorium is what we're talking about today. As the Board of Governors was about to pass the plan to decarbonize, Divest McGill mobilized. You can actually see me there in the corner as a member of the Board of Governors. Frankly, the decision to decarbonize and the university's promotion of it is pure greenwashing. The university has not divested, to be absolutely clear, and it continues to ignore student demands for the university to divest this day. Further, there was a mass student walkout when the decision was made, and there's this really cool video that you can find on our Facebook page that basically memes McGill's video when it created the Made by McGill campaign. So key takeaways from my presentation. First of all, financial pressure is absolutely effective. The point is to impose a financial cost on the university's decision to reject divestment. And over time, the longer that this moratorium goes on, the more that the university will lose in terms of finances that it otherwise would have gained if these questions went to referendum. And this amount that's lost by the university should eventually exceed the amount that their continued investment in the fossil fuel industry would otherwise gain for them. Further, this was in consultation with athletics and recreation, which the athletics representative and others gladly consulted us with a couple of days ago. They stated that donors are hesitant to donate money to the university as a result of the moratorium, and this further increases financial pressure on McGill. So we can see that this moratorium is indeed having a financial impact on the university. The moratorium is the SSMU's most impactful tactic to achieve this. The athletics facility improvement fee, which would have been $10 a term for five terms, has withheld $1.2 million from the university. And the Dean of Libraries approached myself and the VP University Affairs at the time to put forward the Fiat Lux fee, which would have paid for the university's renovations to the McLennan Red Path Library Complex. They were asking for $30 a term for four terms. And as a result of the moratorium, we said no. In total, this has withheld more than $4 million from the university, not to mention the impact that donors withholding their money has had. So in conclusion, Divest McGill is of the opinion that the moratorium cannot be amended, that it would jeopardize the momentum of the campaign, particularly as the university is the last of the big three universities in Canada to announce a plan to divest. This would send the wrong message that students no longer care about divestment and take the whatever sales. And we're counting on you as representatives of the student body to uphold the society's commitment to demonstrating leadership in matters of human rights, social justice, and environmental protection, and to stand in solidarity with us as we continue our fight. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll now be entertaining questions on this presentation. All those wishing to ask a question, please raise your hand now. Councillor Wan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, Ryan, for your presentation. I just want to ask a clarifying question based on your presentation. What is Divest McGill's position on the two motions presented later tonight, specifically about ancillary fees and athletic fees, just to, make sure you're Divest's position? Thank you.
Before we continue on with the question, I'll just like to remind that we'll be continuing to enforce the questions need to pass through the speaker. So in the future, just ask a question to the speaker going through to Mr. Buraga. Mr. Buraga, you have the floor.
Thank you. Yes, to be clear, we are in opposition to both at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Holton.
Hi, thank you. Mr. Speaker, one of my concerns and a concern of many of my constituents is that we're not properly leveraging this moratorium on ancillary fees. So could the presenter detail further measures that Divest is taking and measures SMU should be taking to ensure that McGill feels pressure, not just from current students, but from outside groups, like potential incoming students, alumni, and journalists.
Mr. Buraga?
Yeah, of course. The Divest McGill campaign uses a diversity of tactics when it comes to divestment. We've worked both within and outside of the university to try to achieve our goals, three times with the university's CAMSR process, which have not amounted to divestment, protests to bring media attention to the cause, occupations in the past, as was done after the announcement not to divest took place most recently. So we definitely have been leveraging different ways of pressuring the university throughout the 10 years that we've been in existence. We're very interested in hearing what exactly, if you're the constituents who contact you have any ideas, we'd love to listen. And I know the councillor mentioned that their constituents were worried that we weren't leveraging it properly. Was there a specific way that these students were concerned, like we weren't putting pressure in the correct spots, or perhaps this is outside of the scope of the presentation, but I would be interested in passing that on to the rest of the organizers at Divest.
Does Divest have an email address so that councilors can contact with these sorts of questions?
Yeah, it's divestmcgill@gmail.com.
Thank you. Any further questions, please raise your hands. Councillor Parsons.
Mr. Speaker, I would like to know, the presenter mentioned that Divest McGill believes this is the most effective approach. This and moratorium on ancillary fees is the most direct approach to getting the university to divest. I was curious as to what evidence they have that this is proving to be promise. What willingness has the university shown outside of decarbonization, which, as the presenter mentioned, is simply greenwashing, to actually address divestment?
Thank you. Mr. Buraga?
Yeah. I guess to tackle the first part of that question, part of the motion was also announcing to the Board of Governors that the SSMU was taking this position at this time, and that there would be financial consequences for the university as a whole should this continue. The SSMU is among the university's biggest donors. We've donated millions of dollars as on behalf of students. Our names, the name of the society is on the plaque at the James McGill Circle in the Leacock Building, which denotes the university's biggest donors. So in addition to communicating with the Board of Governors at the time, just how impactful this was, tactic in addition to all the other tactics that were being used at the time led the university towards decarbonization. Again, it's not exactly divestment, but it does lessen the harm that is caused by investment in some of the fossil fuel companies. Again, not all. What we were targeting was, again, the social license that these companies have to operate, and the university is not taking that step. I hope that answered the question. If not, please feel free to reword it, and I'll try my best again. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any further questions? Councillor Mulvaney.
Hi, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a quick question. Oh, I'm also not a councillor, to clarify for the record. Apologies. But no, it's all good. All good. I just had a quick question. How would the presenter respond to student groups on campus who feel that they have been negatively affected by this moratorium on ancillary fees? Students that do believe in divestment and do believe in having a sort of climate justice, but who do not believe that the means of enforcing this moratorium have benefited them in any way.
Thank you.
Mr. Braga,
yes.
Okay, great, thank you. Yeah, thanks for the question. To give a really great example, we had a fantastic conversation with Councillor Parsons and the athletics counselor and one other person from athletics who were concerned about the effects that this would have on the athletics facility improvement fee. Fundamentally, the choice not to fund athletics and recreation properly is a choice from the McGill administration. At the time, the administration was proposing doubling the athletics facility improvement fee, not doubling, matching. So with the $500,000 a year that the money, if the referendum question was passed, would have gone to athletics and recreation, the university would match that to have $1 million. Now, even though students pulled out their contribution, the university could have decided to have their contribution continued, but they decided not to. And the way that the university structures its units in the self-funded unit system consistently deprives them, these units, student services, athletics and recreation, of the funding that they need in order to be able to do their activities to the greatest extent possible. So unfortunately, it's not ideal that we're in this situation, but we're trying to work with the tools that we have. And as students, act in solidarity to one another. We've expressed this opinion to the athletics and recreation folks as well. We're willing to lend our organizing capacity and our resources and letting the greater public know about their plight and trying to get them the funding that they need from external sources, for example, to be able to match it, as well as put pressure on the administration to properly fund these units. So at the same time that we're doing this initiative, we're also trying to minimize the harm that this directly causes on the student body.
Thank you very much. Any further questions? Please raise your hands now. All right, seeing no further questions, thank you very much for the presentation. It was very insightful. And I hope the councillors have learned a lot.
Merci beaucoup.
It's time, if you could stop sharing your screen, we'll share the agenda once more. Before we continue on, councillors, I would just like to remind you to please rename yourselves with councillor and then your name. I was able to just quickly go through the list. I think most people have done it. I modified the few people I caught, but if you could, it'll help me, since we don't have any placards on Zoom, just to know who to count as a councillor and who not. With this, we'll move on to point number 8 of the agenda, the student support presentation, first and foremost. Welcome, Ajamu.
Thank you.
We'll stop screen sharing and you'll be able to share your screen.
Great. Would I be allowed to share that information in the chat as well?
Yes, go for it. I'll enable it right now just for you. So I also put all the information you sent me on the drive. So counselors, any presentation and any such things, give me the drive.
Thank you.
VP Student Life.
Yeah, so just want to give a quick background on presenting a motion later for the referenda, and Ajamu is a student support founder. So I just wanted you to hear what student support is all about before you vote for this motion. So Ajamu, it's all for you. Go for it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so I can share my screen?
Yeah, you should be able to.
Perfect, okay. Can everyone see my screen?
I can see it, perfect. So I think it's good.
You see it? All right. Hi, so I'm Ajamu, and I'm the CEO of Student Support. And supporting students is really close to my heart because I was 16 and homeless at one point, and I became one of Canada's top 20 in 20. And the only reason why I made it there was because I had access to the right support services. A lot of people helped me. And this is what student support is all about. We help students get access to services that will help them with their mental health, their career, their academics, and their physical well-being. And the way that we do that is we reach out to organizations that provide services that help students in these areas and help students get access to them at a very affordable rate. I'm going to talk about some of the services that we're going to help your students get access to. Udemy has over 40 million students worldwide. It's an incredible place to go for any student to learn skills that really matter in the job market, tech, coding, business, other things like that. Calm is a great application, rated number 2 in the App Store, for any student that may not feel comfortable reaching out to someone for help, for mental health support, or maybe on a wait list to reach a counselor. It's an incredible organization, and it's used by over 30 million people worldwide. Grammarly, style, punctuation, grammar, anything that a student is writing, it could even be in an email to a professor or an employer, it could be an assignment. Grammarly is going to help the student reorganize their writing so it shines in the best light. And these services are great. They are used by over 100 million people worldwide. However, for a student to access some of these services, it can be a bit expensive. Calm is $76. Grammarly is $144 USD. Udemy is $360 USD. And we haven't even talked about taxes. So all in all, these services will cost a minimum of $712, and there are other things that make these services cost more. But through an opt-outable $9.99 per semester fee, all students can get access to these services for the year, including the summer. The next most important thing to focus on is we need to think about how many students will actually use this service if this referendum is to pass. So these are some usage statistics based on real case studies from universities and organizations across the world. So for McGill, we're going to expect an 8% usage rate. So Notre Dame University purchased Calm for their students. 25% of the student body signed up, but afterwards, 8% were daily active users, so using that service every day. Recently, Ryerson purchased 1,000 Calm subscriptions off of us. And within a week, they have basically sold out. There's 100% usage. Udemy has communicated to us that within 3 months, they will have an average of a 70% uptake. And with Grammarly, so Ryerson Student Union asked their students, do you want access to these services to Grammarly for $11.29? And in under a month, 3,000 students purchased Grammarly, and they just asked for another 1,500. We're almost at 100% usage rate for that as well. Translating this back to McGill University. So the thing I want us to think about is how many students would access these services if finances weren't a barrier. So let's say 8% of the population use Calm. Now, if it wasn't for this referendum, it would originally cost those students $76.99. And actually, I just want to address something really quickly. So we want to be more conservative. So Udemy did tell us it is 70% on average. And we think for the first year, we're going to hit at least 20%. So when we add up the total cost of the services, if there's no referendum, it's around $2.4 million. Student support is expecting to collect just under $400,000 in student fees after a 15% opt-out. So according to these usage statistics, which we think will be higher, and I'll show you in a second why, we're going to be saving students around $2 million. Now, the really important thing is to figure out, okay, how are we going to make sure that as many students as possible know about these services and actually use them? So I'm going to summarize this implementation plan. In essence, we're going to make sure that we're at every single major event, Frosh, your activities night. We're going to create jobs on campus and hire students to pitch in every lecture hall and every classroom to make sure students know about the service. And then in the winter, we're going to report the usage statistics to the next council and the executive so you can see how successful the program has been. So what we're asking for, in summary, is to give students the choice to vote on whether they want access to these services for $9.99 per semester, which is opt-outable. Now, usually a successful referendum will make the fee last for around 5 years. We know these services have been used by over 10,000 organizations and 100 million people. However, we really want to make sure that it makes sense at McGill and it's also going to be successful at McGill. So after a year or next February, we are going to present the usage statistics to the next council, the next executive, and then they can vote on whether or not they want to have another referendum to continue helping students with these services if it's successful. So thank you so much for your time and let me know if you have any questions.
Thank you very much.
Well,
we'll now be taking questions on this presentation. All those wishing to ask a question, please raise your hand now. Councillor Wong.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you very much for the presentation. I have two quick questions, if that's all right, Mr. Speaker. My first question is this service usage dependent? So if all students at McGill attempt to use this, will there need to be additional spots created like they did at Ryerson with the 1,000 initial spots? And secondly, will a budget of how these student fees be provided on referendum? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ajamu.
Great. So number one, so yes, all students will be able to use these services. It won't be similar to Ryerson. So Ryerson just purchased these subscriptions in bulk because they're not able to have referendums this year. And so for the second question, did you ask for a budget? My computer is just there.
Councillor Wong? Councillor Wong?
Sorry, could you please repeat the question?
Sorry, so for your second question, did you just ask for a budget?
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I was asking for if a budget would be provided on referendum with how these student fees would be, distributed to the programs.
Absolutely, and we actually submitted a proposal to Eric. I'm going to see if I can share a link in the chat, and that will kind of show the cost breakdown. Would that be appropriate? Would you like that?
Yeah, go for it. You should be able to.
Okay, one second. I'll do that very shortly. Yeah,
if you could also send it to me by email, I'll be able to add it onto the shared drives for all for perpetuity.
Oh, okay. So I can just email to you, Alex, and then everyone will have it? Okay.
Yeah, exactly. I'll put it next to your presentation on the shared drive.
Okay, perfect. I will email it to you now.
Perfect. With this, are there any further questions concerning the presentation? Mr. Buraga.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Perhaps one of the executives or the presenter can answer this. To my understanding, the SSMU already has a Keep Me Safe fee, which my understanding would do the same thing. It does the same thing as what Calm would do. This is a fee for $275 per student per semester. Considering that this would essentially create an overlap between those two programs, are these three services packaged together as a whole, or can the society opt out of Calm but keep the possibility of the other two?
Thank you. Ajamu or VP Student Life, if either one of you would like to answer this question. VP Student Life.
Yeah, for sure. We came up with this package because it makes sense and there's no overlap. Keep Me Safe does offer other services that Calm doesn't, so they've sort of both complement themselves. But I think with the JAMA, we discussed several options and we can discuss adding other packages and other apps in there.
Thank you very much. Any further questions, please raise your hands now. Val Masni.
Yeah, I was wondering what is like the benefit of investing in this sort of, I don't know how to say that, but more corporate package instead of investing in services for students on our campus.
Thank you. Ajamu?
Okay, so sorry, you're asking if we should invest in a corporate package instead of giving this to students?
Carla, if you wish to answer.
Yeah, I can answer. The things with student groups is we do have services prior to this move, but there's operational limits, right? So this is more for just general services. This is not very specific in terms of, for example, like PSC does, right? So in terms of our operations at this move in student groups, we do have limitations when it comes to people. That's the main one. So that's the reason why we presented these services as an alternative. So everyone in the membership can benefit from everything, right?
Thank you. Anybody have any further questions? Member of the gallery, Parsons.
Mr. Speaker, I'm just seeking a point of clarification to ensure I understood correctly. Going forward with student support services would mean the introduction of an additional ancillary fee here as well.
Anybody wishing to answer? Go for it, Ajamu.
Okay. So for my understanding, if council votes tonight, students, it'll be just put in a referendum, and then students themselves will decide if they do want this opt-outable ancillary fee. But yes, if this were to pass, it would be, and it would be for 1 year, not 4 or 5 years, and then the next council. And the next executive will see this usage statistics and then vote again to see if we should continue to serve students. I hope that brought some clarification.
Thank you. Vice President Bamu.
Member of the gallery, Parsons, was your question more about how this would relate to the moratorium on new fees? Was that more of your question?
Mr. Speaker, to respond to VP Downey's question, indeed, this is what I'm wondering.
Thank you. Vivi Downey, just in the future, please do ask your questions directly to me.
Oh, of course. I apologize. So the main difference between this, the fees that we've discussed, like such as the athletics fee, that's a fee that goes to the university directly versus a, I might be getting the terminology wrong here, so someone please jump in and correct me. But this is a student-funded fee that is going towards a student service that will be provided through SMU. So for instance, we're also going to be discussing the fee for the Black Affairs fee later tonight. That doesn't violate the moratorium. The moratorium is concerning fees that are directed at McGill. Please let me know if that made sense. I don't think I was very succinct.
Thank you. Member of the gallery, Parsons.
To clarify, Mr. Speaker, if McGill was not collecting overhead fees, would a self-funded unit be considered a third party as well, given that it would financially be unrelated to McGill at that point?
Anybody wishing to answer this question? Mr. Buraga?
In that case, since the self-funded unit is still connected to the university, it would. And it would continue to place that pressure on the university, even if overhead fees were not collected.
Right. By Dice's discretion, we'll be taking one more question just to be able to tie up this conversation before it devolves into an all-out debate during question periods. Any further questions, please raise your hands now. Mr. Buraga.
Yeah, just wanted to get a clarification on how student support is funded. Is it a for-profit organization? Is it not-for-profit as well? If it is a, either way, what is the overhead that the organization takes off of the student fees that will be ultimately collected? What percentage of student fees will be taken off?
Thank you. Ajamu?
Absolutely. So student support is a social enterprise and is incorporated as a for-profit organization. We don't have a nonprofit status. And for each school, it's different. So, and I will kind of give you a highlight on how much student support may keep or for our overhead costs this year. But I really want to show you that student support will start getting more overhead when we hit around 200,000 students or 300,000 students. So in a few years, that's when student support will get more. But right now, we're expecting to put, and this you'll see this in the budget, around 75 to 76% for just for the services, because they're quite expensive. We're gonna put around 1% to student engagement. So student support, all in all, after all the calculations, probably going to have around maybe 5 to 7% at McGill. However, when we go to more schools, it'll become even more viable for us over time.
Thank you. The budget you have shared with me has been added to the shared drive. I'll also send a link in the chat at this moment.
Thank you. That would be on page 7, sorry, one second. There's an appendix, so on the very last page, page 8, and then on page 4.
Thank you very much. Cool. With this, we will no longer be taking any questions. Thank you very much, Jean-Mu, for your presentation tonight.
Thank you.
We'll now be moving on to the next presentation, the Athletics and Recreation presentation. VP Student Life and Councillor Josu, you have the floor.
Thank you. Could you put the presentation and have the timer, please?
Yes.
If possible.
Jazz, we can't see the timer.
Okay, just give me a minute.
Well, worst case scenario, I guess I can have a timer just by me so we can go quickly.
Oh, I think now we should be able to see it.
Oh, okay.
There you go. Perfect. You have the floor.
All right. Thank you, Speaker. So I'm just going to give a quick overview of the athletic and education fee. I think we'll see there is an overlap with the previous presentation given by Mr. Buraga. So what are the A&R fees? So first of all, what is an auxiliary fee? So it is a fee charged to support services and activities distinct from academic programming or general overhead from the institution. So currently, athletic and recreation receive money by an auxiliary fee, and that money can only be used to provide the basic operation activities on athletic facilities on the McDonald campus and on the downtown campus. So this is a fee cannot be used to do the basic repairs that support the program. As you can see on the PowerPoint, currently a full-time undergrad student pays around $150 per term for the per semester. So if we go into the moratorium now, So the moratorium, as explained a bit earlier, was implemented in 2019. And the goal was to block any addition or any increase in ancillary fees as long as McGill has not divested from companies whose main business is the extraction of fossil fuels. And that was used to put a pressure on McGill to make an incentive for them to make sure that they divest from those companies. So if you can go lower, please. So the issue now. So I think it was said earlier also, but currently McGill can have money from three different parts: the government, from tuition, and from donation. And per Quebec's law, the money they receive can only be used in academics, with the exception of giving of a third of such funding to student service. And the moratorium has been really detrimental to self-funded unit, as is athletic and recreation is. But if I am not mistaken, it is also the case of the library. So this means the difference is that self-funded units can only receive money from ancillary fees via student unions or via donations. So if we go a bit lower again, as I just said, the moratorium has been really detrimental for self-funded unity because they are not subsidized by McGill. And by cutting the freezing the funding to McGill via the ancillary fees, while such units as ourselves cannot ask for the money to do some repairs, for instance, in the athletic facilities. So as of right now, McGill University is mostly recognized for research and academic excellence, and athletic is not probably the most, it's not the biggest incentive for a student to go to McGill. So while administration will not fully divest, it continues to put a great pressure on us and athletic and recreation, and that prevents us from giving some services to the students at McGill University. I just want also to remind everyone that not only university athletes benefit from the facilities, but there is a wide range of people, not only even McGill students that use the facility, but the greater Montreal community also benefit from them. So instead of the current situation is really, really hurting not only McGill students, to be honest. So we are trying to find a solution, so we'll present the motion a bit later to show what we want to do. But the fact that student unions can put pressure, there's a reality that student unions can put pressure on the administration without hurting the student body, that is really maybe hurting probably even more than the McGill administration, because McGill administration can find other ways to find money, but we cannot. So if I can just have a closing words, I think it is really important to remind everybody that those motions that I'm going to present later are not there to completely bypass the divest McGill. We just want to make sure that the student body, who is really being hurt by the moratorium, does not continue to suffer as much as it is suffering. And so we can make sure that we continue to find ways to put pressure on McGill, but finding ways that will not, as I've been saying since the beginning of this presentation, hurt McGill students. So I think we'll have plenty of time to address other questions later.
Thank you very much, Councillor. We'll now be taking questions on this presentation. So all those wishing to ask a question, please raise your hand now. Councillor Wong.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, Councillor Jusu, for your presentation. In the presentation, pressure was mentioned on the administration. My question is, how much pressure has been exerted onto McGill admin in relation to the covering of athletic costs for initiatives such as building maintenance? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Councillor Josu?
So I'm afraid I have not fully understood well the question. Maybe could the councillor repeat?
Of course. Councillor Wan?
Thank you. So has the group of athletics, has there been pressure put on the administration to cover maintenance fees for buildings and stuff like that? Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Josu?
So I think as a self-funding unit, it is not our, we have to find money for ourselves. And the fact is, this is why the issue is really present. We cannot ask money. And as I have mentioned earlier, I think it is only a third of McGill, of the money that is received by McGill that can go to field outside of university, outside of academics. Maybe VP Carla has another answer to that. So we'll defer my job to her.
Vice President Student Life.
Yeah, so I was going to say that right now we're paying one fee, and this goes for the programming and the maintenance of the building itself. The fee and the motion is to do a facility improvement fee. That's to make the facility better, renovations, HVAC, etc. So currently with the fee that we're paying for the normal programming and just the maintenance of the unit. That's pretty much it.
Thank you very much. Any further questions? Councillor Kusa.
Councillor Josu, are you comfortable with me asking my question in French? Would that be okay? You can just thumbs up.
Yeah, you can do in French and maybe translate.
Do you want to answer in French?
Yes. I'll try to answer in both languages.
Okay, perfect.
That works perfect.
Okay, I'll first say it in English, if that works. I'll say it in French. Est-ce qu'il y a moyen de attendre votre but sans nécessairement aller à l'encontre des vœux de Divest McGill? So is there any way to achieve your goal without going against the wishes of Divest McGill? Is there any middle ground here that we can work towards? Est-ce qu'il y a un milieu?
Thank you, Councillor Kusa. Just to take this as a learning occasion in the future to format the question probably according properly according to our rules. You can ask something along the lines like, Mr. Speaker, would there be a way to adjust the question based on the desires of Divest McGill? Something of the sorts, just to direct the question to the speaker. Councillor Josu, you have the floor.
Oui, en fait, c'est une question à laquelle j'essaie de répondre depuis des semaines et des semaines. Ça fait tellement de temps que j'essaie de trouver un moyen parce que je sais que le travail que Davos McGill fait n'est pas anodin. Et nous avons essayé de trouver des moyens, mais comme je le mentionnais plus tôt, j'ai eu la chance de discuter avec Davis McGill il y a quelques jours, c'est un travail assez complexe et le fait que, malgré notre discussion, ils n'ont pas non plus été capables de trouver une solution qui allait répondre à la question sans devoir créer un amendement. C'est pour ça, malheureusement, j'ai l'impression que c'est notre dernier recours afin de pouvoir soulager un peu cette unité qui a tellement besoin de rénovation. Est-ce que je pense à répondre à votre question? Maybe should I try to translate in French or in English, or you will go?
Yeah, y a pas de problème. In general, the council is bilingual, and as such, any speech done in French or in English is valid as it is. Mais si vous voulez répéter ce que vous avez dit en anglais, ça marche aussi. C'est comme vous voulez. So if you want to speak in French and in English, feel free to do so.
Yeah, so basically, Councillor Kusa asked if there was a way for athletic and recreation to gain money without amending the motion. And I answered that I've been trying to find ways for the past few weeks to not go against about McGill. I think the work they are doing is not nothing. But the thing is, the way things set up, it is really impossible. It is not impossible. but it is really hard to find money others than by ancillary fees. I did not mention in my French answer, but we are currently also working, there are donors that sometimes try to help, but Mr. Baraka mentioned it earlier, they don't necessarily give money to us because their thought process goes by, why should we help them if they don't want to help them? And so I just want to remind everyone that the fee that we want to reintroduce has been there since 1984. So even before any question of divest or self-funded unit, the idea was a for a way to students to help other students. And I'm not telling that just because we did something in 1984, we should continue to do it. But I think that the spirit that brought this idea is really relevant today. And I think it is probably all the reason why we're here. We're students trying to find ways to help each other.
Thank you very much. Member of the gallery, Masni.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess I was wondering why this motion was presented instead of possibly some sort of campaign to pressure the university to give more funds to athletics and recreation fees. I think perhaps the different varsity athletes that have been part of athletics could be used to pressure the university into giving more fees without damaging the work that Divest has been doing.
Thank you. Councilor Josu.
Yeah, so as I said, currently there is only a third of money that can be given from outside academics that can be given to other fields. So that's for one. And second, member of the gallery crew president mentioned it last time we talked about it in the last LC. We don't have a say really in how McGill invests their money. So this is why we cannot ourselves tell McGill, pressure on McGill to tell them their best because X or Y. No.
Thank you very much. Member of the gallery, Botham.
Hi, yeah, thank you. I'm wondering if at any time athletics or recreation has worked to pressure McGill to change their stance on divestment, either previous counselors in athletics or members of staff in athletics itself, as that seems like that could also be a means of resolving this issue.
Thank you. Councillor Joseph.
As I just mentioned, we don't have a say in how McGill does invest. And also, as I was just saying, member of gallery person mentioned the last semester that we cannot really, it would be like a PR nightmare for McGill to part of McGill to tell another part of McGill even though we are self-funding unit. But as I said, continue to say, we don't have a say on how money is spent. And as I said, McGill doesn't really give us money. We ask money. We have the athletic and recreation fee, but from what everything that has been said, it goes directly to us. Maybe a member of gallery has a more information to give us, but that's what I can say.
Thank you very much. Member of the gallery, Garfinkel.
Yes, hello. Thank you so much. And thank you for your thoughts, Councillor. I'm really appreciating your consultation and your thoughts here. And I just had a question as a student in the Faculty of Arts and as somebody who uses the athletics facilities as well. I was just wondering if you could get into some more specifics about the ways in which the moratorium has harmed athletics' ability to offer and improve students, offer and improve student services. We've been talking more broadly, but I was wondering about like specific projects, specific initiatives that have been lacking as a direct result. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Josu.
Yes, thank you. So currently there are the fee was there until 2019, and Mr. Buragia mentioned that it was a change. It was the fee was not renewed in part because of the change in name campaign. And I think there is a lot of different aspects. And I think member of Gallery Person has more information on it, so I will defer my speaking time to her.
Member of the Gallery Persons.
Yeah, so thank you, Mr. Speaker. A couple of primary examples I can think of that have been done historically is the addition of the mezzanine on the gym. So as a gym user myself who doesn't necessarily lift heavy, I use the mezzanine all the time as a place with a bit more privacy. So that would be a prime example that serves a lot of students. The other big one that's been done in the past is Rutherford Field. So that's the field that covers the McTavish Reservoir. We share that space with the city of Montreal. So it's not just benefiting the McGill community, it's benefiting the Montreal community. But many an intramural soccer, spike ball, and occasionally flag football or ultimate frisbee games are played up there. So that's benefiting a massive number of members of the student body, for example. Some imminent repairs are the pool. So the pool needs to be retiled, and right now they're just doing touch-up jobs here and there. But there is the possibility that they can't come up with that money and we can't continue to leave water in the pool, that those services could be suspended at some point until funds are needed. And as an example, right now, if Athletics and Recreation continues with their current financial situation, it'll take about 5 years to save up the funds to retile the pool entirely. So those are just some examples. What's happening on the by and large is that money is being taken from elsewhere to do these massive repairs and to do these massive projects. So we have the money, the athletics fee, for basic upkeep, but the big projects funds are basically the reserve fund is being depleted. And it means that on the long term, student services could be compromised. And as I've mentioned, there's a few examples for you of services we now have because of the fee.
Thank you very much. Member of the gallery, Botham and Garfinkel, is that further questions or are these remnants?
No, sorry.
No worries.
I do have further questions. Is that all right?
I'll get back to you after I'm done the two other questions.
Thank you.
Member of the gallery, Thalman.
Yes, thank you. Mr. Speaker, I guess my question pertains actually about to something Councillor Josu said and something Mr. Buraga said earlier. So, Councillor, you seem to mention quite a bit that McGill can only direct 1/3 of its investments to student services and the like, 1/3 of its income, so to speak. And you seem to kind of say that as somewhat the plateau and the limit to which you can ask McGill for money. However, I have noted that during his presentation, Mr. Buraga also stated that before the moratorium, McGill had offered to basically to match the income amounted by ancillary fields, indicated that they do have some money that can be set aside for student services and athletics. I was wondering if that was, I guess, tying into questions that have been asked previously as well. That is something that you've considered demanding McGill for and lobbied for.
Thank you. Councillor Josu.
I defer my speaking time to a member of Gallery Persons.
Member of the Gallery Persons.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker. So this goes along the same lines as we've talked about with alum. The university never earmarked that money before. But when they saw that the students cared about basically keeping up the facilities and making improvements to them, to a great enough extent to add this student fee, the university said, okay, well, if the students care enough about it, we are going to redirect some funds towards that. And by the same sentiment, now the students are showing they don't care, and so we will not direct those funds. So we could potentially put some pressure, but nonetheless, we're talking about $500,000, which is still in the grand scheme of things, not enough over time. But yeah, their approach is if the students don't want it, we don't want to match it. A similar approach to what alum have had as of late.
Thank you. Councillor Dagduki.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So my question was kind of similar, but I'm just going to ask, would it not be easier that, like, I understand that the fee that McGill was providing was not earmarked for student for the athletics, but since it's something they've historically given, doesn't it kind of feel like they're pushing the other way instead? Like, sorry, I'll try and rephrase my question properly, but just you guys are here to ask SMU to try and bring back the fund on the student side, and they're essentially, it seems, punishing you guys on the other side. Like, so why would it not help to try and push back against McGill? I'm sorry if my question wasn't super clear.
Thank you, Counselor. Oh, once again, I'll do this the entire meeting. I'll also get a reminder to please phrase the questions directed at the speaker and then include the others. Counselor Joseph.
I defer my speaking time to a member of Gary Parsons.
Thank you, member of the Gary Parsons.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, if I may address Counselor Dagdoku's question. One of the big things is that this ultimately comes down to a question of student fees, right? So for example, alumni money is not what we're talking about here, although if you had questions about that, we could certainly address it. But basically, to put it simply, if the students aren't willing to put up that money, the university isn't, and they've been very firm on that. And so the big ticket thing, the big thing here is that we need student support. We need the students pushing on the administration. And this is a viable solution over time, but the most, because of so many of these repairs are so imminent, and it does mean potentially sacrificing services offered to students, to kind of go back to the question earlier about, is there an inconsistency between Divest McGill's goals and the goals of getting the funding that athletics and recreation needs? The reality is that, wow, I just lost my train of thought. I sincerely apologize. Give me 1 second, I'll get it back. The reality is that we need the student commitment, but nonetheless, that's going to take a lot of time. Like, to lobby the university, for example, Divest McGill has existed for 10 years and we still have yet to see that change beyond the, you know, surface level promise of decarbonization. So what we need right now is an imminent solution so that student services are not sacrificed. And that's why we are coming here to ask for this, not necessarily the lifting of the moratorium, right, but to make the exception because this is such a vital student service that provides for not just student athletes, but the McGill and Montreal community at large. And also just a quick little note, another major project that we added was a gender neutral washroom with some of the monies we received. So again, a way that we can reduce harm in our facilities and make them more approachable for everyone, that those funds were used towards things like that as well. I hope that answers the question.
Thank you very much. We'll now be taking one more question. Member of the gallery, Garfinko.
Thank you, Speaker. I have a follow-up question. I'm going to address it to you this time. Thank you for that correction. In my last question, I asked about projects that were being affected by the moratorium, and I got an answer that was about past projects. And I was wondering if more specifically, someone would be able to address whether there have been any current or future projects, not past ones, that are being impacted by the moratorium, especially because you've been using plural for those, services that are being impacted. And the ones that I've heard so far are, I believe, the pool and the bathroom, which doesn't seem like a particularly expensive project. Of course, I'm not an expert, but, you know, changing a sign. But I would appreciate more specifics about the present and future projects that are being affected. Thank you so much. Much appreciated.
Thank you, and I appreciate the use of parliamentary procedures. Member of the gallery, Parsons.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. If I may clarify first, I'll just mention the bathroom is a past project as well, so that we now have gender-inclusive bathrooms. So yes, future projects include the pool, the ventilation system in the gym and the field house is a really big one. The field house floor, which, you know, we have the track and field teams practicing there, but people also play tennis, pick up soccer, pick up basketball. There's the track in which members of our community run on. So all of those things are affected by the field house floor, and exams are run there obviously as well. Molson Stadium needs to be re-turfed. That's another big one. There were a few more that I had thought of. Those are some examples of the big ones. I'll say the ventilation is probably one of the most imminent. Oh, and another huge one is increasing facility accessibility. So for anyone who's actually been in athletics or in recreation, there's no way to get in the building right now without having to go up at least two stairs, not two flights, just two stairs. but currently the building is not accessible to someone who can't handle two stairs. And being that there is a sports medicine clinic in the building, it is a little bit ironic for sure. But that's another big project to make the building more accessible, especially wheelchair accessible, that all those projects have been impacted by the lack of this fee.
Thank you very much. With this, we'll be exhausting this presentation and question period. Thank you very much for the very informative Q&A and presentation. We'll now be returning to the agenda, starting with our announcements. First, we have an announcement by Vice President Paulet. I would like to note, since we've added the announcement by Vice President Louvrier, the announcement time is now 20 minutes, with 5 minutes allotted to each announcement. Vice President Paulet, you have the floor.
All right, thank you, Speaker. So, hi, everyone. I just have a couple announcements because it is a very busy time of year. As you may know, we have our GA on February 21st, so that is Monday. So all counselors are mandated to come to the GA, so make sure you don't forget Monday at 6 p.m. Also, exec elections are finishing Monday at 5 p.m., so if you're interested, be sure to get your nomination packet in before Monday. And in terms of a couple of governance things, I sent an email to all of council about the conflict of interest policy that is looking for some consultations. So if you guys are interested in giving your feedback, that'd be really helpful to our policy and advocacy coordinator. On my end, I've started consultations for the five-year plan. So I have a survey that's about 6 questions concerning the five-year plan. So I'll send it to council. And if you guys could also share it with your constituents and your executive team, that would be super, super helpful. And Speaker, if I could send you a link that you could share in the chat, it is also SMU Awards season. So SMU Awards hasn't happened for the last 2 years because of COVID, but we are bringing it back this year. And basically it is a way to honor and kind of bring awareness to the work of the community. So mostly clubs, there's even a counselor award. So I am going to share the nomination form with you guys. And if you want to, you know, spread that to people that you think would be interested, if you want to nominate yourself or other people for certain awards, that is also very valid. So I will share it to the speaker. And if you could share it in the wide chat, that would be lovely. But yeah, those are all of my announcements. Thank you.
Since Zoom prevents me from copy pasting, I'll just enable chat to everyone for a second, and you can send it right now. So you can send it, and then I'll disable it again. Thank you. All right, with this, we'll be going on to the next announcement. The announcement by President Darinani. You have the floor for 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good evening to the members of the Legislative Council and members of the McGill community. Before I begin these remarks, I would like to acknowledge that I'm joining this meeting from the traditional and unceded territory of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee nations. I'm grateful for the opportunity to shed light on what has happened over the last few months and to address any questions that you may have. While I have met and worked with some of you, for those who don't know me, my name is Darshan Darinani and I go by he, him pronouns. In the past 2 years, I served on this very council, first as a representative for the Faculty of Arts, and then as the representative of the McGill MCSS and SMU Senate Caucus. In March 2021, I was elected to serve as the president of the Student Society of McGill University for the 2021 to 2022 academic year. It is an honor for me to serve in this capacity. When I came in this position, I knew that SMU is not the most friendly to students of color or with immigrant backgrounds, and I have witnessed this firsthand. For this reason, an important part of my campaign platform was to make SMU a more inclusive, equitable, and accessible place. However, as you may know, 3.5 months into my presidency, in a closed meeting, the SMU Board of Directors decided to suspend me with pay.
A point of order.
The board of directors did not provide.
Excuse me, President Darinani, we have a point of order.
That is confidential information and cannot be discussed in a public setting. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice President Poulet. President Ariani will be interrupting your time for a second while I pull the dais into a breakout room to discuss this really quickly. If I can get the dais in the breakout room.
Which breakout room?
The breakout room number one, please.